So let's have a word of prayer, and then we'll share some pictures and some slides and some videos by the grace of God. Our dear, gracious Heavenly Father, God, thank you again for today. We thank you again, God, for your amazing grace. God, how sweet the sound that saved even a wretch like me. We thank you, God, again, that we have an opportunity, God, to share Jesus Christ. God, even wherever we're at in our sphere of influence, we know you don't have to go across the world to share. There's people right here to share. But we just praise you, God, for, again, an opportunity to go and to go to the Philippines, God, and to, again, just spread the gospel, the message that's the power of God to salvation, God, for everyone who believes, God, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. So we just pray again for this evening. We pray, God, that we could be just encouraged for the great things that you've done, and we continue to pray that you'd continue to guide and direct with those in the Philippines and, God, again, even future opportunities there. And we thank you for this evening now. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, so Philippines 2020. So I had the opportunity to go on a mission trip. Pastor Roxer asked me here earlier in November if I would be willing to go on a mission trip, and definitely wanted to pray about it. It was for 2 weeks and something to consider. Should I go? How much expense is it? How long will I be away from my family? Things like that. So I stole one of Pastor Dave's lines here. It's, when considering a mission trip, you should take a lesson from the Apostle Paul. And what's amazing is that as I was praying about the trip and, Lord, should I go? Should I not go? Because, again, not every open door is God's will for your life. And one of the cool things that I told my kids is I've been praying, and we had been praying as a family, you know, Lord, is this how you want me to be used? Is this how you want us to use our time and things? And it was on a Saturday morning, November 9th, that I was reading the kids' devotional to them at breakfast time on November 9th, and it was this devotional in the kids' Bible titled Good News. And it's about the Apostle Paul as a missionary, and how he had the opportunity to go many places and to preach the good news. Romans 1:16 says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone that hears, for the Jew first and also to the Greek. And I just, as I read this to the kids, I'm just like, wow, Lord, you know, what a privilege, what an opportunity that I could have to be used to go on a mission trip. And I told the kids, I said, I really think that the Lord just used this, this devotional and the verses that we looked at, Acts 20:24, where the Apostle Paul talks about his ministry. And I said, to really answer my prayer on, well, if I should go or not. So later that afternoon, I actually emailed Pastor Roxer and said, I'm in. Let's go for it. So it was just amazing. We had the opportunity to teach the book of Romans. And the first message that I taught was Romans 1 and verses 14 through 17. And it's another great lesson from Paul when considering a mission trip, because Romans 1:14, Paul says, I'm a debtor. And there's three I am statements here by the Apostle Paul. In verse 14, he says, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And so as we're thinking of Paul's mission and his message, this is Paul's mindset, what he had. And he said, I am a debtor. Secondly, we see in verse 15, he says, I am ready. He says, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. So we see that Paul said, I am a debtor. Secondly, that I am ready. And thirdly, we see in verse 16 that I am not ashamed. His three I am statements here. He says, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. So again, just what a privilege as we think of the opportunity of all of us as believers in Jesus Christ, that we have an opportunity to preach the gospel. And the question you can always ask yourself is, am I thinking this way? Am I a debtor? Do I owe it to these people to give them the gospel? You know, the life-saving message of the gospel of God. Am I ready? You know, 1 Peter 3:15 says, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and always be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you. A reason of the hope that is within you with meekness and fear. So that verse has always stuck with me. And also in Romans here, 1:15, am I ready, Lord, to give the gospel? And obviously, number three, I am not ashamed. A lot of times we shy back from telling people the gospel because we're worried about how they'll think about us. In fact, being convicted on this, I was thinking about the opportunity again. You'll fly across the world and go to the Philippines and, you know, tell people about the gospel. As we were getting in our car on Tuesday morning to leave for the airport, Charity, Mike, and I, our neighbor was outside across the street, and she knew we were going, that I was going on a mission trip, and I was just thinking, wow, you know, I haven't had the chance to share the gospel with her yet. And here, you know, the lady across the street, but yet, you know, I'm getting on a plane and we're flying across the world to go tell people about it. So it's convicting, again, that all of us have an opportunity. We all have a mission field right where we're at, you know, right with our own family. But some of those things, you know, when considering a mission trip. So, again, we had the opportunity to teach God's amazing grace. Our main contact over there was Steve Haworth, a fellow that Pastor Rockster knows really well. And he set up all the conferences over there. And this was one of his Facebook flyers. It was pretty cool. Seeing God's amazing grace in 2020. If any of you have seen the, you know, all the Facebook posts about 2020 vision. And, you know, but again, our conferences were titled, Why is God's Grace So Amazing? And we taught the first five chapters in the book of Romans. To really underscore justification and why is grace so amazing. So the trip, again, consisted of us going to the Philippines. The Philippines consists of many, many islands. If you count all of them, even the little tiny dots, I guess there's over 5,000 islands in the Philippines. It's amazing. Obviously, there's some major ones. We flew in here to Manila in the north here, on the very first day, but immediately we got back on a plane and then went down south here to Mindanao to Davao City. So we left here on New Year's Eve, about noon on New Year's Eve, and we got there January 2nd sometime. I don't even remember exactly because you lose a day for flying over there. And then obviously with 30 hours of flights and layovers and things like that. Amazingly, we flew with each team. So there was three teams here. As you can see, there's three different colors. The blue team, green team, and red team. We all flew with our own luggage. And then we are also each required to take two additional suitcases of materials that we wanted to bring. We had their pamphlet, their handouts for all the conferences, plus all these additional tracks, the John 3:16 booklets and stuff. So we each had an additional two bags. So Mike and I had four bags just for our team, and every team had that. So it was kind of funny because we were worried about weight going over there and check bags and stuff. So Mike and I upgraded. We decided to pay an extra couple of bucks, and we'd pay for this extra weight. Well, Poochie didn't want to do it. So Poochie got everything for a two-week trip in a carry-on, his backpack. So he ends up wearing three pairs of clothes so that he could fit all his stuff into just a backpack for 2 weeks. And Mike and I were just like, okay, you know. Whatever, but yeah, the Lord was gracious. All of our luggage made it over there, and all the materials and the tracks made it safely over there. But it was just amazing. So the first conference, we all flew together, and we flew into Davao City there in the south. And at this first conference, all of us were together. So on the team, there was Scott Johnson was the lead pastor, and we can start maybe turning off some lights here. I can turn on that light over there, too. Oh, is that all right? All right. So, Scott Johnson, and he kicked off the conference. He taught first in Davao City. And there's Mike. He's from Grand Rapids. Mike Adams. And then Poochie was there as well. He's from Duluth Bible Church. This is Steve Haworth. So Steve is, again, an acquaintance with Pastor Roxer. He actually was raised in Europe somewhere, and now he moved to the Philippines, and he's lived there for a couple years. So he set up the conferences, has kind of all the contacts and stuff. And then you had Pete Tranvik from Arizona. He's down in Tucson now. He taught. And then last of all, it was myself as a teacher. There's an honest rendition of me, and I guess I'm preaching to Poochie. This guy right here actually drew pictures of us all at the conference, and he said, "What's your name again?" And so he drew pictures of us all and put our names by it. So there's Poochie and I, and, you know, Poochie's, I'm taller than Poochie, so I was pretty excited about that. Here's some pictures at that first conference. Again, they were very studious, very well, you know, listening, hearing everything. This is a younger guy that happened to be here that Mike had the opportunity to witness to, didn't believe he was saved. And again, at the beginning of these conferences, we always start with a questionnaire we hand out to people and try to get to know them a little bit better. We ask them their name, where they're from, what church they're from, and then we ask them if they're a pastor or not, and then we ask them some additional questions about salvation as well. So the first two conferences, we spent 2 days, our first conference, we spent 2 days. So each day we taught five messages. At the first conference, we tried to teach six messages each day, but the first day we only got through five, so we skipped one, and then the next day we got through six. So each conference was otherwise 10 messages, five messages every day. This very first conference, we did not translate. We did it in English. And we wondered, you know, afterwards if they really understood. You know, they understand English, but again, you're teaching five messages a day and you're trying to get through this material. We're just not exactly sure, you know, was that really kind of a stumbling block for them? So the conferences went from about 8 in the morning to about 4 o'clock or so at night, 4:30. And then at night we had an opportunity to do, it's called a film showing. So some of the guys that we ended up partnering with over in the Philippines that helped put on these conferences, they're actually part of Bob Tebow Evangelical Association over in the Philippines. So if you know who Tim Tebow is, the famous football player, you know that he was born in the Philippines as his parents were missionaries over there. And he started this association over there. And so he's got a team of about 40 or so that live over in the Philippines and that work for this Evangelical Association. And one of the things they do is they go into villages at night, and they set up a projector, and I'll show you a video here coming up, and they show a video, a gospel presentation video, and they draw out all these crowds, usually of young kids, and they give them the gospel. So that was one of the opportunities that we had, was to go on Saturday night. After the first conference was Friday and Saturday, and then Saturday night we had this opportunity. They took us into a village, they call it a barangay, and be able to witness kind of them doing this film showing. And there, Poochie had an opportunity to actually have some fun with them here. He sang a song with them. Let's see if I can get this sound working again. Gotta find the power button. There it is. Had the sound working. There we go. Don't mind the singing here. I chimed in a little bit. Poochie Poochie does a great job with the kids over there. He just did really good. All right. Yeah, Poochie did a great job. And with a lot of people, actually, he connected really well over there. Poochie had been there to the Philippines almost 30 years ago to the date. He was there right after high school. And he said, unfortunately, Joe, the first time I went over there, I got the gospel wrong. And he goes, I am so excited to go back and to tell them the true gospel. So Poochie just was just thrilled with the opportunity. Really loved it. On Saturday night, then the rest of the team actually flew out of Davao City and they went north. And Mike and I stayed that night in the hotel. And then on Sunday morning, we had a travel day. Our next trip was just a few hours away to Davao del Norte. Was our next conference location. And also on Sunday morning, we were going to a church as well. We had the opportunity to roll in this bad boy here. This is a World War II Jeep that they've redone. And again, Bob Tebow's association gets these vehicles for these guys to be able to go around the Philippines and minister. So we packed in there, and we didn't realize on Sunday morning, because we, remember, Mike and I each have our own suitcases plus four additional ones. So we had, you know, tons of suitcases and bags. So we start loading up this thing and we're like, this will be fine, you know. And all of a sudden the other guy started coming out. And we're like, who is this? And so we ended up finding out that we had six guys going with us. Plus all of our luggage in the World War II Jeep. And so here's Mike and I, and then the driver would be sitting. We sat in the front. I sat on a on my backpack and had my suitcase in the back there, and so we could scrunch in there. And so we had six guys going. Actually, I think we had seven on the way to the church. And they're all crammed in the back there with all the luggage and stuff. So that was our travel day on Sunday morning. Here's a picture in the back of those guys with our luggage. I felt bad for them in the back too. But they're happy. They didn't mind. We did have a little bit of car trouble on Sunday morning too. We, all of a sudden, you know, it was stop and go traffic. It was, in the middle of the city, and all of a sudden the clutch went out. And he's like, he couldn't get it in gear. And we just kind of rolled, and we all got out and pushed it up to the side of the road, and we're all looking at it, and nothing seemed wrong, and we waited for about 20 minutes, and we hopped back in it, started up, and it started working again. It was just amazing. It was like, wow, praise God that, because again, we were heading off, we were going to church to be able to preach a message at church that morning. So it was amazing that, that it worked, and we got there. We were just a little bit late, but, we arrived Sunday morning at the Southern Baptist Church in New Carilia, was the name of the church. And it was really interesting. Here's an example of Sunday morning worship. So we got there, and they were just kind of beginning their Sunday morning worship service. So pretty lively. Anybody recognize that song? They're singing it in English. So we found out that a lot of their praise and worship songs are in English. And they got the words there up on the screen. And, you know, it's pretty pretty lively. Here's another one. So yeah, pretty lively band. Mike and I were sitting there for about an hour Sunday morning as they were singing this. We were in the front row waiting to, for the opportunity to preach. And so what we decided to do was we each had the opportunity to get up, and I just said, well, instead of just teaching a message, Mike, maybe we can just kind of give our testimonies and talk about why we're here and stuff. So we had the opportunity Sunday morning to get up. And to, I just talked about the opportunity as, again, to share the grace of God that has been shown to me and how God saved a wretch like me and how I was able to, you know, by God's amazing grace now preach the gospel message. So Mike and I both had a chance to get up and speak Sunday morning. There we did use, this is Pastor Edie as our translator as well. And then, that was on Sunday, and then the conference was also at this church, we found out. Again, we didn't know a whole lot of details on everything and how this was all working, and so we just said, alright, here we go. So the conference was at this church as well. The next day was on Monday. And again, here, Mike and I switched off teaching each day. We taught 5 total messages every day. Mike kicked off the conference. As you can see, we had our PowerPoints over there, so that was amazing. That worked out. And then we also used Pastor Edie to translate as well here in, this is Davao del Norte. He just said it would be easier for people. Again, some of them spoke really well English. Some of them didn't speak as well. So we just thought it would be well worth the opportunity. I was a little bit nervous because usually when you translate, it takes longer. But it was amazing. He was such a great translator. You would spit out not quite a sentence, maybe a phrase, and he would be right there translating it. He would almost start before you were done speaking. And so every message we spoke, it took the same amount of time. We got done every message in about an hour. So it was just amazing. It worked out really well here. We had just a phenomenal time here at Davao del Norte. Here's a picture of them all. A lot of the people were from within their own church, so there was a lot of younger people, a lot of kids. But there was a few pastors also from tribal people from the mountains that came down as well. So it was just a great opportunity to teach there. We had some great responses. At the conference, they fed us well. Here's some pictures of some food that we had there. They have, you know, watermelon, rice, of course, with every meal. Watermelon, pineapple, mangoes. Here we had rice, some chicken, some noodle, some seaweed, which actually wasn't too bad. Just another vegetable, right? Put some salt on it, you'll be all right. So, but they just took really good care of us. They cooked everything outside over an open fire. But yet, you know, I'm reminded of this verse in Hebrews 13:9. It says, "Do not be carried about with various and strange doctrines, for it is good that the heart be established by what? By grace, not with foods which have not profited those." So again, we are seeking to establish them and not have to worry about food. But again, thankfully, the Lord just undertook, and none of us actually on the team ever got sick. So praise God for that. They had bananas. We had eggs. Some mornings we had hard-boiled eggs. Sometimes they did scrambled for us. This is some kind of meat. I don't know. But cucumbers, tomatoes, onions, and then there's pork. There's a little fish in there, too, that you can't see. But, yeah, they fed us really well. We had instant coffee every single morning. It was great. And they had brown sugar on the table for us always. Oh, it was wonderful. They also treated us. We had the opportunity to go visit Ronald McDonald. Actually, I told my wife, I think I ate McDonald's more over there than I have over here lately. So, yeah, they took us there a number of times. They also have a restaurant called Jolly Bee, which is kind of another, it's their version of McDonald's as well, so same type of thing. But so they did take us there a few times as well. So overall, we are very thankful for the food. But again, back to the conference, that first conference. Here's some pictures. You know, after you're done teaching, they were studying. Like I said, a lot of them were very diligent. Here's a couple of pictures of ladies just, this is in between messages. You know, they're copying down, taking notes. And those are the women. What do you think the guys are doing? That's what the guys are doing. They're like, hey, take a picture of me. We're like, no, you got to be actually doing something. But it's just funny how a lot of times that's how it was, though. The women just seemed to be more interested and more attentive to it. But you never know. You know, God's grace is abounding. So they heard the word of God, and but many great responses. I got a couple of testimonies here as well, and hopefully you can hear and understand. So this guy is Pastor Edie's son. He is his youngest son. He's got Pastor Edie has four kids, and this is his youngest son, Paul. And he was at the conference. He's 22 years old or so. He's at an evangelical university right now. But his dad even admitted, he's like, no, it's not very good. And we're like, oh, okay. And this is, again, the opening questionnaire that we ask everyone. And this is Paul's opening questionnaire. As you can see, how certain are you when you where you're going to go when you die? 80%, 50%, or 100%. He put 100%. Okay. Can you ever lose your salvation? He said, no, you can't. You can't lose it. I'm secure. Well, great. You know, Paul, you're getting it. Why would God let you in heaven? Well, I am forever his child. I am welcome in heaven for Jesus. Paid the price on the cross for me. Okay, you know, you think some of these guys get it. And then we got this question. Circle all the things that are necessary in order to become a Christian or to be saved. And as you can see here, he circled just about every single one of them. So what do you have to do? You have to repent of your sins. You have to ask or invite Jesus into your heart. You have to believe or place your faith in Jesus alone. You have to give your life to Christ. You have to be water baptized. You have to pray the sinner's prayer. You have to come forward and receive Jesus as your Savior. You have to be faithful to Christ. Oh, he missed this one. Obey the Ten Commandments. He didn't circle that one for some reason. Make Christ Lord of your life. Confess Christ publicly or live a holy life. So a lot of them did this. And actually, in every conference, they circled at least more than one. And again, it's just amazing when you see that what is necessary in order to get to heaven. And this is the focus of the message when we went over there, is clarifying the gospel. What is the gospel message? And we went over and over this. The first day in Romans, it was, you know, it was again, what is justification? You need to have righteousness received. How do you receive it? We went over the gospel. But then the second day, I taught a message on what must I not do to be saved. And you actually show people that the Bible is very clear that you only need to believe in Jesus Christ alone. And we go through, you know, 10 verses in the book of John that say what? Believe. And then we clarify some of these things. What is repentance? And at the first conference, I thought I was on fire and I'm nailing it. I'm getting, you know, I'm telling them how you're not saved. And after we asked people, would you like to change your answers here? And at the first conference, only one person wanted to change their answers. And I'm like, oh, they didn't quite get it, you know? And so I was thinking, is there a better way to illustrate it? So I used Pastor Roxer's idea. I took a bottle of water and I said, and it's not open yet. See, this is a pure bottle of water. And you guys all agree that this is pure water. And I said, see, the gospel is pure. And our job is just to simply serve it to people and to keep the gospel pure and not to spill it, not to tamper with it. And I said, now, watch this. And I came over here and I had some instant coffee. And I opened it up and I just poured a couple of little grains of instant coffee in it. And I said, now, is this still pure water? Or is this not pure anymore? Even just a few grains, right? It's contaminated. It is no longer the gospel. I said, you cannot mix works and grace. Otherwise, grace is no longer grace. And otherwise, works are no longer works. They don't mix. It's not the pure gospel. We don't want to contaminate it. And so I thought maybe that would hit home better. And at the second conference, it was awesome. We had some really great responses. So this is Paul Hopefully you can understand them here. Yeah, just an amazing story. I've got one more here, one more testimony here. And this now is Pastor Edie's daughter, his daughter and then a couple other ladies. And she was the one who was singing, if you remember or recognize her. Same thing, here's her before questionnaire with all of her circles. And actually, all the girls had the same thing. Everybody at that church did the same kind of thing. They didn't circle the exact same ones, but most of them circled a lot of them. So this is their testimony.
Okay. Yeah, what was the best thing that you learned at the conference, do you think? What is your name?
My name is Stephanie.
Okay, what did you learn at the conference?
Obviously, I learned so many things, but one thing that really shocked me was that I was born in a Christian family. So, I was very blessed. It's really long.
That's okay.
Do good, but especially my dad is a pastor, and then as I grew up, I think I hope to myself that really I have salvation because I believe God and I do good things, I do good works, but
did you guys hear that? Oops. Did you guys catch that? She said she thinks she's got salvation because she does good things. Because her dad's a pastor. Yes, he did. So, you got to hear a little bit more of her testimony here. I was hoping I could fast forward it a little bit, but. She wants to sing. Isn't it just amazing? The other two girls as well have a very similar testimony. I won't go through it all, but just amazing. You know, we were just fired up after this conference. Here's this questionnaires. They wanted to change their answers. Afterwards, what did they do? Believe circle. That's the only one. Believe. And actually, we had about 30 of them after the second conference that changed their answers. So it was just really, really exciting. They really got it. So we were so pumped up after this second conference. Mike and I were just ecstatic. It was a lot of fun. And like I said, to be able to see those testimonies. So again, thank you for your prayers while we were over there. They were definitely working. Just amazing. So that was Monday, Tuesday conference. Wednesday was our travel day again. We got back into the World War II Jeep and made our trip. And this time we had Chris sit in the front and I got to sit in the back with the luggage. Here's one of our pit stops. If some of you might have seen this. I posted this online and I said, 24-hour CR. Does anybody know what a CR is? It's a comfort room. That's where you go to the bathroom. So, so you pull over to the side of the road. That's our comfort room right there. So what do six guys do in a vehicle with all this luggage? They know the first verse, but not the second one necessarily. But yeah, here's Pastor Edie driving the vehicle, and he was singing lots of hymns. Let's see if this works. Another video here. So Pastor Edie was, every conference got more and more fired up about the gospel and our teaching. And like I said, he was translating it. He was just on fire. And I told him the story of Acts 16. And I asked him how many people there knew Acts 16. Let's see if this works. It might not work. I had captions that I did. Might not work. I'll show the video maybe later of Pastor Edie preaching in the car to us. He was fired up preaching Acts 16:31 to us. Let's see. I did it with captions, but we'll do it without captions, and maybe you guys can. Nope, not that one. This one. He's talking Acts 16. They put Paul in jail. What does the guard do when all the prisoners go out? I told him he was going to kill himself, right? And what does Paul do? Yeah, Pastor Edie was a riot. He was telling us jokes the whole time. And like I said, he was preaching to us afterwards. He's like, he would go through the outline of Romans with us afterwards. But halfway to Lake Cebu, we ended up switching vehicles. And one of the other guys had one with a roof rack. So we're like, yeah, let's get the luggage on top. So we got the luggage on top. We're like, great, let's get back on the road. Get going here. This trip's taking forever. Oh no, we gotta stop again because it's gonna rain, so we gotta get a tarp. We gotta put a tarp over the top of the vehicle. So we're out in the middle of nowhere and they're hunting for a tarp. It was kind of funny because at this spot, it was around 4 o'clock and all the kids were getting out of school and they're walking down the road. And as they're walking, I don't think they've ever seen an American before. So they were just like this, though. Everybody's just staring at, so as we're on the side of the road, looking at these goofy looking Americans. I don't know. Here's Mike with his arm out the window all day long. So guess what he had by the time we got to the house? His whole arm was sunburned over there. Here's one of the guys sleeping in the back. He figured out a way to rig up a... I wouldn't recommend that as a safe way to sleep in a vehicle, but... So here's Albin. He's a younger guy, 35, spoke pretty good English. He's telling a joke here, so if you might not be able to understand it, he's talking about meeting at a church, and all of a sudden, ISIS comes in.
About going to church with a church is coming on Sunday.
So if you could catch that, yeah. Yeah, he told that joke a few times. I'm like, I got to record you saying that one. That one's a good one. So yeah, we were having fun on the way, even though it took us about twice as long as they said it was going to take us. We finally got there Wednesday night, and then Thursday morning we woke up and we're like, hey, this is a nice place. Had a beautiful, beautiful house that they rented for us on top of a hill and looking down at Lake Cebu there. Very, very beautiful place. The church was close by, so we just hitched a ride there on the motorcycle and went down to the church, Christian Community Church in Lake Cebu. And beautiful church, nice big building. Again, you can see had it set up well for us, and they got the drum set up front and the guitars. And guess what they did the next morning right before we wanted to teach? So Mike said, one song, because we're already running late. And he told them one song. So that went on for 20 minutes. The one song. So Mike is standing up front there just kind of like putting his head down like, we're running late. Oh. But no, it worked out really well. As the day went on, it got bigger and bigger. The crowd actually got bigger and bigger. This was our biggest conference. We had about 95 people there that came. So Mike again kicked off the teaching there, and we switched off teaching both days. Had the opportunity to teach. Mike ended up bringing out the chair illustration, so I just kept using that. What is our faith, and what does it mean to have faith? And, you know, what does it mean that your faith is actually not what's holding you up? It's the chair that's holding you up. Because a lot of them at this conference struggled with eternal security, and that once you're saved, you're always saved. And they said, well, what if you stop believing? Surely you can lose your salvation if you stop. And I said, well, wait a minute here. If you place your faith in Jesus Christ, your faith in this chair to hold you up, you sat down, right? I said, is your faith holding you up right now? Or is it a chair? I said, how about this? How about if I stop believing in the chair? Chair, you can't hold me up anymore. I don't believe it. Is the chair still holding me up? Is it? Yeah. Right? And so we drilled hard on eternal security at this one. And even if you are faithless, the Bible says he remains faithful. He cannot deny himself. So we had the opportunity to share. As you can see, this is where I got dressed up. The guy's house that we rented, his name was Frankie. And after the first conference, he goes, oh, tomorrow I'll dress you up in Kaboli tribe aware. And I said, all right. So he ended up giving me a vest and a little hat, turban hat deal, and then the necklace, and dressing us up for the second conference, or the second day of the conference. So, and then I said, hey, I kind of like that vest. You think you could find one for me? See, he went shopping and found some stuff for us to buy. So very cool. Again, we translated at this conference as well. Worked out really well. There were some kids there. And what do kids do in the Philippines? It's kind of hard to tell here, but he's playing on a cell phone. The same thing American kids do, except this little girl. She was just playing on the ground. But yeah, very cute kids, very well behaved. We didn't have any issues with noise or anything. A lot of them just were quiet or went outside and played even. Again, another film showing we did on Saturday night. We went to a different village here in Lake Cebu, and you can see they had a basketball even court here. And Mike, this is Mike over here. He as soon as we got there, he got in playing a game with them in basketball. And this is his video. So this is, you hear him breathing a little bit hard because he's still winded.
Say hi to the kids in America.
They say hello. He was playing basketball.
How old are you? How old are you? You're 10 years old? Do you know Jesus Christ?
So Mike's having fun with the kids there. And then here's a snippet of the video. Again, they just hang up a sheet, and they have a projector that's on a battery and a little PA on top of the Jeep there, and they play a gospel presentation kind of film here. They get a pretty good crowd as soon as they turn on that loudspeaker, and you know all the kids from the neighborhood come out and want to see what's going on. They stop the video about halfway through, and then they usually give a gospel presentation. Pete did it at the first one, and he did a really, really cool way to do it. He shared about, he used his hand, and I thought, well, that's a nice way to give the gospel, you know, especially to kids and, of course, in a faraway area. So that's what I did here as well. I had the opportunity to share. So it's just simple. You put your hand up. Everybody put your hand up. Start with your pinky. All have sinned. Secondly, the wages of sin is death. We all deserve death for being sinners. That's the bad news message. Number three, Jesus Christ came and died on the cross for your sins. The proper response. Number four, whosoever does what? What do you have to do? Believe in Him. They all know John 3:16 over there. And if you believe, what happens? Have everlasting life. So it's just a really simple way to share the gospel. And Pete, you know, said that, and he likes to do the thumbs up, you know, for you have everlasting life. So I just thought it was, I stole Pete's way there of presenting the gospel. I thought it worked out really well. Did it in about 3 minutes, you know, just a quick way to share the gospel. Here's, at that same barangay that night, here's Devante, and this is his church. So it's pretty, you know, humbling when you go over there and you see some of this over there. And it's like, you know, these people don't have much, but they're happy. You know, and most of them have a good attitude. They have a desire to serve the Lord. Obviously, some of them had been under some false teaching. They admitted that, you know, other missionaries have come and taught them that, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if anyone wants to invite Jesus into your heart, you know, they use, of course, Revelation 3:20 and all these other verses out of context and are preaching a false gospel. And you know, like Pastor Oxer said, we just had to apologize. You know, I'm sorry that somebody misled you. And I explained how those responses are confusing to the gospel message. Let's just use the words the Bible uses, like John 3:16. What does it say? Whosoever asks Jesus into your heart? No. Whosoever repents? No. Whosoever believes? And so we went over and over it again. And just again, an amazing opportunity to share over there. At this third conference, it was a little bit harder. I think some of the people there were... you know, there's a lot of pastors at this third conference. A lot of them had been teaching for years. And although they said they couldn't argue with us because they didn't have verses. And it made sense, but they would still have to think about it. So at this conference, we actually only had three people that changed their answer to faith alone. And actually, one of them is right here, is Pastor Charlie. He's the pastor of that church. So that was really encouraging that the pastor seemed to understand it. Here's a picture of me with the praise team there. I don't know, Pastor, if you read the letter from this conference, but I talked about a gal that I had the opportunity to talk to at the first day of the conference. Yes, they are long. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, there was a lot. But had the opportunity to talk to this gal named, I think it was Elora was her name. And, she skipped school to come to the conference. But she told me that she did not know for sure she was going to heaven. She said, because it's hard. And I said, okay, let's talk tomorrow. I want to talk to you tomorrow after the conference. And I want you to listen and see if you can understand it. And so the second day we taught again how you're saved and how you're not saved. And it's not about your works, but it's about what Jesus has done for you. And over we emphasize it. And so on the last, after the last message on that conference, I asked her, I said, so tell me, do you know for sure you're saved? And she goes, yes, I do. And I said, why? And she said, because Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I said, are you sure? She goes, 100%. And this is a picture of her. So it's just an awesome opportunity. Again, prayer works. And God's amazing grace was definitely seen at these conferences. And again, it was just a privilege to be able to share. As you can see, this is not even everybody in the picture, again, at this third conference, but many. Many people heard the gospel, different pastors from different areas, different people from different areas. But all of them need to understand God's grace. And again, just so thankful for the opportunity to go. It was a privilege. Thank you for those that have prayed for the whole team over there. All the conferences worked out well. This was just Mike and I's last two conferences. The other teams did similar conferences and went well. So thank you for that. Thank you for the support that people gave to actually fund this trip as well. God just worked out every detail there. The conferences went well. We were fed well. Like I said, nobody got sick. So after our Thursday, Friday conference, so it was the last day, we were heading back to the airport. This is Frankie. He's saying, I'm going to go with you guys to America. this is Frankie. You know, and thinking about, you know, the Philippines and things that, you know, you learn. And again, it's humbling. Some of the time Mike and I didn't have a running water shower. You had a bucket with a ladle was your shower. And you just pour that over your head. And, you know, the toilets don't have tanks on them, so you just pour water in it to flush it. There's no toilet seats. You know, just simple things. If you find this, it's real joy in the Philippines as well. Toilet paper is one of our joys over there in the Philippines. But, you know, Again, overall, we are just so blessed. The joy of the Lord is your strength, Nehemiah 8:10 tells us. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And just want to close with this one last verse here. 2 Corinthians 12:15. Scott Johnson shared this verse on one of the first days of the trip as a devotional. As when Paul was talking here, and he said, "I will very gladly spend and be spent for your souls. Though more abundantly I love you, the less I am loved. I will very gladly spend and be spent for you." And again, what a privilege and just an opportunity to be able to tell others the grace of God. And like I said, there was times that we didn't have all our comforts, but God's grace was just amazing there. Just truly a privilege to be over there and to share. So again, wanted to thank you guys all for again partnering with us and the prayers and the support that you gave. So, any other questions or thoughts? Yeah, Pastor. Yeah, amazing. Yeah, we did 6 conferences in the Philippines over those 13 days. So, yeah, and then Pastor Roger was in the Gambia as well at the same time. So, what an amazing opportunity. And they're excited over there for the teaching. You know, they're, "When are you guys coming back? You know, we want to hear more." And so we left them a ton of the materials. We gave them the PowerPoint presentations. A couple of the people had flash drives. "Can I get that?" And we said, "Yep. You know, teach it. You know, we want you to use it." So the younger guy that gave his testimony, Paul, you know, he's like, "I can't wait to tell everybody in the university, you know, all his classmates, you know, he's going to teach them about the grace of God." So it was just really exciting, a great opportunity to go. Yeah, Greg. Pastor Edie, you know, he did the same thing. He circled a whole bunch of answers, on his questionnaire. I have a video of him as well, but it's longer. It's like 15 minutes long that I could show you guys. But he says the same thing. He circled a whole bunch of answers before the conference started. And I don't know if he wasn't necessarily saved, but definitely got clarified, you know, after the fact of faith alone and Christ alone. And like you said, you could see just him, you know, eating up the teaching after a while. You know, it's believe! And so that last video I have, like you said, I can show you guys at some point if anybody wants to watch it, of him telling more about it. Yeah, Pastor.
I think a lot of times when you go to something like this, they have all this information, but as you show them what the gospel is,
yep,
then all that stuff standing is
Christ's
death.
Yes. Yep. Yeah, and Pastor Roxer knew what he was doing when he said, you know, "We're only teaching there 2 days, and this on 10 messages, how you're not saved has to be one of them." Because they would agree with us at every conference. Like I said, you would think that they understand it, and they're 100% sure you can't lose it. But, you know, what is the proper response? What do you need to do to get saved? And until you tell them you're not saved by doing these things, they're like, "It just makes so much sense. It's just perfectly clear." You know, like you've seen in those testimonies, how those are just confusing to people. You know, I remember somebody at our church years ago who told me when they were little, they asked Jesus into their heart every night because they never knew the next day if he really came in or not, you know, and they just didn't feel it. Instead, the gospel is simple. It's receiving what Christ has done for you. It's not asking. He's already offered the free gift. It's just taking it. Stop asking. Just take it, we kept telling them. And so we wanted to clarify it. So, yeah, just a great opportunity to do that.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right.